You're listening to a podcast from the Sunday Sermon of the House of Prayer in Chesterfield, Virginia. For 37 years, the House of Prayer has served God and the greater Richmond area under the leadership of Pastors Steve and Sharon Stells. Our prayer is that this podcast will help bring the love and purpose of God into your life in a bigger and more powerful way.
Would you please turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 43. This is what God put in my heart to preach this morning. God wants to unlock the spirit of revival. God wants to bring the revival. Revival in your life. Revival in your family. Revival in your community. Revival in your city. Revival in your nation. Revival around the world. You know, if you read Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 43, and you could see this. Peter, who denied Jesus. Peter, who walked with Jesus. Peter, who saw Jesus. Peter, who saw the glory of God. Peter, who saw the power of God. Peter, who walked on the water. Peter, who saw the miracles of God. And when Jesus was arrested, he denied Jesus not once, twice, three times. And he was such a coward. But what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he was baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when he was baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit, he had the boldness to speak. He had the boldness to speak about Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He boldly declared, look, you are the one who crucified Jesus. You are the one who killed Jesus. And he said, he is the Lord and he is the Christ. He declared that to the people. And then he preached the gospel. And the Bible says 3,000 people were saved on his first message. 3,000 people were saved on the first message. You know, this is exactly what God is about to do in these last days. God wants to use each, every one of us to share the gospel so that in one message we can reach 3,000 souls. Think about it. Use your imagination to see if God can use each one of us to reach out 3,000 souls. Think about the revival that is going to take place in your place, in your community, in your city, in your nation. This is the exact thing God wants to do to you and through me. God is no respecter of a person. If God can do it through Peter, God will also do it through you. Why? Because it is the plan of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 21, you will see, "In the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh." This is the plan of God. God wants to release an anointing upon every flesh in this world. You know, I as an evangelist, I am seeing this. This is what is happening all over the world. A few years back, I was invited to speak in a church in New York. And the pastor said, "Brother Samuel, I'll give you 25 minutes. That's all time." I said, "Yes." And this is what he said: "My people will not listen more than 25 minutes. I said, "Okay." So after worship, and he gave the mic, when I came to the stage, I didn't have that anointing to preach the word of God. You know, sometimes as a preacher, you ask your pastor, we all know. See, you need an anointing to preach. It is not you. It is not your intellectual capacity. It is not your vocabulary. It is not how fluent you are in English. No, it is the anointing that comes upon you. I didn't have that anointing to preach the word of God. So what I did was I requested the choir, "Would you please sing with me, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place." So I just asked them to sing that simple chorus. And then I start singing once, twice, and the third time. This is what happened. One young man, I could see, you know, his hair was like is painted all over. And he got up and he started walking towards the altar. He knelt down. He started crying. When he started crying, I saw another girl coming to the altar, another person. Within a few minutes, the whole church was in the altar. They were crying. I didn't even preach. I only said, "Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place." We just invited the Holy Spirit to come down. And then as I start singing and again, the whole church was right there on the altar. And as they were nailing that, I asked God, God, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, go lay your hands. So I started laying hands on the people, and the Lord anointed each and every one of them. They were baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone was filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how long it took? It took 2 hours. I was just laying hands on the people and I was praying, and the Lord, it took 2 hours. I didn't notice the time. And suddenly I realized, my goodness, the pastor gave me only 25 minutes. And I have already used 2 hours. I went to the pastor, and the pastor was sitting on his chair laughing, crying. And I asked the pastor, I'm so sorry. And he said, no, go ahead. I want this to take place in my church. I was praying for this breakthrough. Hallelujah. We give the Lord a big clap of praise. Hallelujah. After 2 hours, he came. I didn't even preach. He took the mic and said, do you want to listen from Dr. Samuel? And everyone said, yes. After that, I start preaching to them. See, sometimes it happens. You know, when the anointing comes, you'll not know. You'll not see your time. You'll not see where you are. You will lost in the presence of God. I want to tell you, in another time, I went to Seattle and I preached in the church. A lady came, and she came and she shook her hands and said, Samuel, I like your preaching. I want you to come to my church. I said, I told her, I'll be here only for another 4 days. Oh, Wednesday? My goodness, Wednesday I have a Bible study, but I have prepared something. Okay, anyhow, you come there and speak for 10 minutes. You can share your testimony, or you can share anything you want. For 10 minutes, I'll give you time. I said, okay. I went there. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to preach? What do you want me to share? And the Lord said, tell them how you were anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just shared, I was born and brought up in a Lutheran church. I have nothing to do with the anointing. In those days, we sing hallelujah chorus. But if somebody says hallelujah, we will run away from them. I always call them, I brand them hallelujah gangsters. I call them hallelujah gangsters. So I have nothing to do with them. I was in the national level. I was playing for the national level hockey team. And that's where I met in an accident. And I thought my career was over. I was so dejected. And one day my uncle called me. And my uncle explained me why Jesus came into this world. And he explained me from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace came upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And when he explained, first time I realized I was a sinner, I knelt down. And I cried, Lord, I'm a sinner. The next minute, I believe it is God's doing. And all my uncle's friends, in India, you always see in the hallelujah, the gangster, they always come in white and white. They carry a bag, handbag, and they come there. They all, in that room, they all surrounded me and then started saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They all were so excited to see me kneeling down, because in those days, you can imagine, when I was in the youth playing for the national level hockey team, I was like a hero, and suddenly I'm kneeling and crying out. And everybody was so excited. They said, they all started praising God, worshiping God. Because they all said hallelujah, I thought I will also say a word. So I just said hallelujah. That next minute, I didn't know what happened. My knee went up, came down, went up and came down. And I saw the power of God came upon me so mightily. I started screaming, shouting. And I started saying hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know. The power of God came upon me on that day. I just explained in that church and I said, this is how God baptized me, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I asked them, how many of you want to receive the Holy Spirit? And everybody raised their hands. The pastor gave me only 10 minutes, right? So I said, okay, I would like to pray. So I asked them to stand and I start praying. I just prayed for 2-3 minutes. And I heard some sound. I just immediately opened my eyes. And I saw everybody flat on the ground. Flat on the ground. Within 2-3 minutes. And quietly I took the mic and gave it to the pastor. I didn't want to do something there. I just gave the mic. And the pastor looked at me, Samuel, whom to preach? Look at my people. They are all on the ground. On the ground. I'm whom to preach? You carry on. I said, okay, come on. Thank you, Lord. I just took the mic and said, those who want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come to the altar. Everybody came. The Lord filled them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Revival. Revival. Revival.
There's one more time I just want to share this with you. I went to Malaysia. I have to speak on a Father's Day. You know, we always have a problem as Indians, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day. We always struggle that. So I prepared a sermon on Father's Day, Father's heart, and how the father wants to anoint his children. That was my subject. So I finished the sermon. I said, I want to pray for the father. Suddenly the Holy Spirit said, no. Ask the youth to come to the stage. Ask the youth to come to the stage. So I was invited to speak on a Father's Day, but God said, pray for the youth. And I told them, would you please come? I asked the youth, those who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please come over. Every youth was there. And I called all the fathers to the stage and said, now let's all pray for them. They are going to be the future fathers. Let's pray. So when we start praying, something wonderful that took place on that day. Everyone is there, were baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of them knocked down on the ground. They filled, spoke in different languages. Everybody was knocked down. And everyone was looking at, because the time was over. And then they all thought, what to do? The pastor looked at me, what do you want me to do, Brother Samuel? I said, come, let's go and have lunch. So we went and had lunch. Evening, there's another service. When I came down, everybody's still on flat on the ground. You know about the youth? They all want to go as quick as possible. Now, when they were gripped by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you this, they have no choice. And this is what God wants to do. In the last days, He wants to pour out His anointing. He wants to pour out His anointing on everyone. Now, how this is going to take place? This is what I'm going to show you from the Word of God. How and when this is going to take place? I want to take you to one incident, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 to 31. Acts chapter 16, verse 22-31, and I just want to read from verse 22 onwards. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. He's speaking about Paul and Silas, verse 22. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, and they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now see the physical wounds on Paul and Silas. Who is Paul? Well-educated guy and highly respected by the society. He had a good status and he commanded respect. And now on the day, on his way to Damascus, the Lord appeared and he gave his life to Jesus. He was baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit and he started his ministry. Now he has been arrested, he was beaten up, he was put into the jail. And then the Bible says, you know, they were put in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. It was tied up. Now here is the situation. See, he was physically wounded, lost their dignity, and then it's also, you can see, you know, their legs were tied, and they were in the prison. They were among all the criminals, and now they were there. What did they do? Verse 25, I want you to see verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. This is what they did. They were bleeding all over. They had pain. And I'll put it in this way. They lost their dignity. They lost their dignity. Now they're among the criminals. They're good people, but among the criminals. Now they were chained. They were in the innermost cell. And in the midst of this, what did they do? In the midnight, I'll put it in this way. In the darkest time, when they were chained, they start praising. They start singing praise to the God. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. You know, this is something like this. You know, go in the middle of the night, and everybody wants to sleep, and suddenly two guys, they start singing, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Probably somebody would say, amen, keep quiet. Don't disturb my sleep. But they didn't listen to them. They start just praising God and worshiping God. They didn't see their physical condition. They didn't say,
Oh Lord, why did you put us here? Why did you make us just come to this place? We trusted you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You have the power. Why did you bring us to this place? I tell you, brothers and sisters, sometimes in life when you go to that place, you did not know why you are there, but there is a plan, there is a purpose why God took you to that place. There is a purpose behind it. These guys didn't say, they did not murmur, they did not shout, they did not scream. They're just praising God and worshiping God for the privilege God has given to them. They are willing to suffer for gospel. Now I want to tell you this. The more and more you start doing ministry, the more and more Satan will attack you. Right? The more you come closer to God, Satan will attack you more and more. Vigorously. I've seen it. I experienced it. I lost my daughter. I was kidnapped by gangsters. My wife fell down, broke her Achilles tendon. The media was against me. And the media wrote all type of stories. The church believed and they did not give me the burial ground to bury my daughter. Christian media was against me. Some of the Christian people, they came to my house and they prayed. I thought they were going to comfort me. Instead, they prophesied that my daughter went to hell. Can you imagine the problems which I went through? I had 40 cents in my pocket. I was broke into pieces emotionally, financially. Very few people stood with me. I was in that place. When I was there, one day I was crying to God, God, because you called me for the ministry, I left the job and I came to the full-time ministry. Look at my wife. Wife is bedridden. Broke her Achilles tendon. She didn't go to work for 1 year. She was on bed for 4 months. My son had singles in his right eye. Lost his all sight. Thank God, God healed him. I lost my father. I lost my daughter at the age of 16. And why I'm here? And when I was crying, the Lord spoke to me very clearly one day. He said, son, do you still love me? I asked the Lord, do you really love me, Lord? The Lord said, I loved you with an everlasting love. I loved you with an everlasting love. You know, I trusted God and I said, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to serve you. In an amazing way, God brought me out of this situation. And he taught me three powerful keys when I was in that situation. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. I'm just deviating a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And these powerful keys he taught me in that time of that trouble. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These three powerful keys God taught me when I was in that place. How to rejoice when your daughter is dead. How to rejoice when your wife is bedridden. How to rejoice when your father is no more. How to rejoice when the media was against you. How to rejoice your own Christian brothers were against you. How to rejoice in that situation. And the Bible says, rejoice evermore. I ask God, how to rejoice? The Lord said, son, if you die today, you will go to heaven. Rejoice. You have a place in heaven. You have a place in heaven. Rejoice. You have a place in heaven. I do not know what problem you go through, brother. You apply this principle in your life, you will come out of the situation. This is what the Lord taught me. The Lord said, rejoice evermore. Rejoice. How to rejoice? The Bible says in his presence there is fullness of joy. And I'm going to teach a little later. But I just want to share this with you. You know, just rejoice in the Lord. You have the assurance of salvation. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have that assurance that you may not make it to heaven today, that means you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Whether I see you next time or not, I do not know, but I want to see you in heaven. Heaven is a real place. And I stand in the presence of God, and I want to share this with you. In my vision, God took me to heaven, God took me to the bottomless pit. I've seen both the places. Such a horrible place. I don't want any one of you to go to that place. This is what I saw. I saw something like a door on the ground. It opened.
And the Spirit of the Lord took my spirit deep inside that. As we went in, I saw pitch darkness. I saw multitude of people crying, weeping, blaming each other. And because of the door was open, that's why there's a little bit of light inside. It was stinking. And I said, God, I can't stand here. Immediately the Lord took me out and he said, son, go and tell to the people in the world, this is real. This is real. This is real. This is not a myth. This is real. If you don't have Jesus, you will go to that place. The Bible clearly says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Want to go to heaven? Jesus Christ is the only way. It is not your righteousness, but it's his righteousness. It is his blood that will sanctify you. If you truly repent for your sins, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. He will make you pure. He will purify your conscience to serve God. It is only the blood of Jesus. It is only the blood of Jesus. Now you see here, God took me to that place. That is why I have the burden to go and share the gospel. And God told me clearly and said, son, that place is for those who have not received Jesus. But those who receive Jesus, they will go to heaven. What a glorious place. What a peaceful place. There is no worry there. And you know, this is what I saw. I saw everyone who are in heaven. Their mind was totally transformed. They don't carry the worry. Nothing. No fear. They were so rejoicing in the presence of God. Such a peaceful atmosphere in the presence of God. And I saw it. I tell you, this is a wonderful place God has prepared for you and me. And today when you die, we have the assurance to go there. That's why the Bible says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. This is what I did. And I appointed many people. Even now today, we have a lot of pastors praying all around the clock. And some widows, I'm supporting some widows, they are praying. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. These are the three powerful keys God taught me. This is what exactly Paul and Silas did. When they were bound, when they were chained, they were in this place. In the middle of the night, they were praising God. They were worshiping God. And when they were praising, worshiping God, and the Bible says the prisoners heard them. Acts chapter 16, verse 20, the prisoners heard them. And verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And I want you to see this very carefully. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, and he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, verse 28, do thyself no harm. I want you to see this if you have the screen. And verse 28, for we are all, verse 28. 28, please. The jailers called the lights and... verse 28. But Paul shouted to him, stop, don't kill yourself. What did he say? I want you to think for a minute. In the prison, it is not only Paul and Silas. The other hardcore criminals, thieves, murderers. When they start praying, you know what happened? The chains were broken. Doors were loosed, open. Now, all the prisoners, they have the opportunity to run. Paul and Silas, yes, godly people. Paul didn't say, hey, jailer, I, the Paul, and the Silas are here. All of them have gone. No, he said, we are all here. What made other people in the jail, the hardcore criminals, to stay back in the jail? What made that to stay there? Think about this. What made them to stay back? The prisoners heard them praying. The prisoners heard them praising God. Something happened there. When they start praying, the anointing came down. The anointing shook everyone. The anointing transformed their life. Anointing brought the conviction in their life. And anointing brought the revival in the jail. That's why nobody went out. Everybody stayed back. Everybody stayed back. You know why? Because of the power of anointing. And the jailer saw, my goodness, I tried to chain these people.
I tried to do so many things with the people. I couldn't do anything. What should I do for to be saved?
And the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You see here, what happened? I believe there was a revival that took place on that night among all the prisoners. Everyone was saved. And the jailer was saved. And his family was saved. Amazing things that took place in that night. Why? Because in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the or of their tribulation, in the midst of all the situation, these two guys, they were praying and they were praising God. What is happening today to the church? Our legs are tied because of something which is happening around us. We can't really share the gospel to people. If you share the gospel, they accuse you. They put you behind the bars. And because you share the gospel, what happens? And the people, they look down upon you. And today, we are living in that type of society. And you see, this is what exactly happening now. What God wants us to do, in the middle of this, all these situations, we as the church have to pray and intercede and praise God, worship God. What happens? The spirit of revival will come down. The anointing will come down. The anointing will totally transform people's life. I want to share this with you, this amazing thing that happened in my life. After my daughter went to be with the Lord, after a few months, I went to a place called Vizag in India to preach the gospel. And in the meeting, I still remember the title of the message, Do You Still Love Jesus Christ? Do You Love Jesus Christ? When I preached that meeting, it's a gospel meeting. And after that, you know, in India, we go to the next state, you look like you are a foreigner. So I can't speak their language. So I want to sing a song in their language. So I asked the choir, one of the choir's member, to write that song in English so that I can sing. And then I said, you all can sing with me because I want them to just sing with me. So she wrote the song, I sang, and then there's a wonderful thing that took place on that day. After the meeting, this is what I did. I took the paper and gave it to her. I said, would you please write down so neatly and give it to me so that I can sing the song wherever I go? She said, yes. So when she touched this paper, you know what happened? The power of the Holy Spirit came upon her. She just touched this paper. Boom! She fell down. The anointing came. And I looked, turned around, and I saw the choir. Everybody started falling down. And I saw the power of God so strongly in that place. And you know, after the meeting, it's all over. Again, the anointing came. And everybody in the choir fell down. The musician fell down. And then people who were there, everybody started boom, 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 boom. And I said, my goodness. I came to the room and I cried. And I said, you know what I said to God? God, you used me so powerfully. There's a man of God who came to my house who prayed and said, your daughter did not make it to heaven. You know, it really bothered me. And I cried, God, use me so powerfully. Where is my daughter? Where is my daughter? I cried and I cried. I couldn't go to bed till 2 o'clock. I didn't know what time I went to bed. I had a dream. In the dream, I saw one big airplane going like this and a small airplane going like that. I took a digital camera and I clicked it in the dream. I could not capture it. I saw a car and I saw a man wearing a white robe, dress, step down. I asked him, why? I'm not able to capture it. The person said, oh, that is in the spiritual realm. You are in the physical realm. That's why you're not able to capture it. I got up from the sleep. The Holy Spirit starts speaking to me. Son, what you saw, the big airplane, is your father. Because my father died, went to be with the Lord in September. And the small airplane, what you saw, is your daughter. The one who spoke to you with the white robe is Jesus Christ. Suddenly the morning turned into joy. And then from the room, I went down. And I was having my breakfast with my friend, and the organizers were there. We were having our breakfast. The hotel manager came and stood by my side. I thought he was going to take an order. I looked at him. He was crying. I asked him, why are you crying? He looked at me and said, who are you? I said, what? Why you are asking me this question? He said, I stepped into this room, and I saw you. I felt like crying. And I said, are you a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian. Then what is happening to you? He said, there is some power in you that makes me to cry.
I said, what is happening to you? He looked at me and said, my burden is melting down. My burden is melting down. And the Lord spoke to me, my son, last night I spoke to you through a dream. You are carrying the presence of God. You are carrying the presence of God. This man came in contact with the presence of God. I never shared the gospel, but he gave his life right there. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. I found out a secret. Very simple secret. You carry the presence of God, you will see the revival. You carry the presence of God. Today, why the revival is not taking place? We are not carrying the presence of God. I always used to share this as an example. You know, a guy who went to a school, and the master said, the world is round. He came home and he started saying, the world is round, the world is round. His father is an illiterate. He listened and said, look, how can the world is round? If that is round, cars will go and it will fall. The world is flat. Next day, this teacher asked him, what is the size of the world? He says, flat. And he got so wild, shouted at him. Came back home. His father said, world is round. His father is angry. He did not know what to do. Then he decided like this. He said, when I am in the school, the world is round. When I am in the house, the world is flat. This is what's happening. You know, when we are in the church, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When you are out of the church, we are a different person. We don't carry the presence of God. But we pray for revival. Why? Revival is not taking place because we do not carry the presence of God. And I see this is what's happening. In the middle of all our trials and problems, the Holy Spirit wants to intercede. I want to show you something wonderful that will take place, that is going to take place. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. In the beginning God created heaven and earth. And earth was without form and void. If you read the Hebrew English lexicon, it defines these two words: formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, waste. You see, these two words, form, without form and void, has been explained in the Hebrew English lexicon. It defines like this: formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, and waste. Now you see this, when whole thing, there is chaos in the world. There is emptiness in the world. And the Bible says, the next sentence, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. The darkness was in the deep. When you see, this is what the Lord showed me. This is earth. There was a formlessness, emptiness. Why? Because there was a darkness in the deep. If you have darkness in the deep, what is going to manifest out? Formlessness, emptiness, chaos. And this when the world was like this, the next sentence says, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of the Lord moves. What the Spirit was doing? I believe the Spirit was interceding. It's not hovering, it is moving, it is praying to God. Because the attribute of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, you'll see the attribute of the Holy Spirit very clearly stated in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with a groaning which cannot be uttered. And you see here, the Spirit is an intercessor. The Holy Spirit was interceding, and the Holy Spirit is crying out, God, you created heaven and earth. Look at the earth. Formless, emptiness, darkness. Do something. I believe the prayer of the Holy Spirit touched the heart of God. God said, let there be light. You see how they work, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How they work. Let us create man. They all work together in the creation. See, God, the Holy Spirit is the one who intercedes for you and me. The same Holy Spirit wants to come down in this earth, because it is the word of God, in the last days I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. The same time, the Holy Spirit also use you and me. Now, I want to show you a beautiful example. Go with me, 1 Kings chapter 3. This is a beautiful example in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 3, and you'll see this wonderful example. Go with me, 1 Kings chapter 3. And verse 5, we all know the story very well. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee, right? He asked him, what I shall give thee? Ask me,
What do you want? What did he ask? What did he ask? What did he ask? What did he ask? Wisdom, right? Okay. Now I want you to keep this in your mind. I just want to flip to verse 15. I want you to see verse 15. Verse 15, let's go to verse 15. And Solomon, what? Woke up and realized it has been a thing. Now listen, in the dream God came and asked, what do you want? The Bible didn't say he got up and thought about it and asked for that wisdom. The Bible didn't say that. Bible didn't say. He's still sleeping. And he spoke to God. And he asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. And he promised to give everything to him. And the Bible says in verse 15, he awoke. Then what did he realize? It was a dream. Then who asked God the wisdom? The physical Solomon was still sleeping. He was still sleeping. Who asked? It is the spirit of Solomon. Now, let's see this picture here. It is the spirit of Solomon. Now, the Holy Spirit explained to me very clearly, you know, that he's still sleeping. And then, you know what happened? If you read the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible clearly says, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. That was 3 and 4. Now, what actually happened here is, when he loved the Lord, when he offered this, the two things that took place. The Bible clearly says, in John 14, verse 23, if you love me, we will come and abode. If you love the Lord, you will come and you will obey me, you will come and abode. That means, when you love the Lord, when you obey his commandment, John 14, verse 23, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they will come and abode. Okay? They will come and abode. Now, what happened here, because he loved the Lord, because he offered thousand animals as a burnt offering, his soul was sanctified, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in the spirit of Solomon. And God said, what do you want? God, the Spirit of God, used the spirit of Solomon and asked for wisdom. Why? Because when David wanted to build the temple, God spoke very clearly, David, you can't build the temple. Your son is going to build the temple. That's the plan of God. That's the plan of God. Now, I want to just demonstrate, in order to understand this, would you please come over, Brother Jonathan, Joseph, and Elijah, would you please come over to the stage? I just want to show you, so that you can easily understand. Please come over to the stage. I want you to see this picture very clearly, how the Holy Spirit intercedes. You will understand this. Come on. Elijah, just stand over there. All right, please come over. Jonathan. Now, come over. Assume his Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's in heaven, okay? We have a meeting. Children are heritage of God. Elijah is going to born in this world. We have a plan. We have a plan. And Father knows the plan. Jesus knows the plan. The Holy Spirit knows the plan. Now, he is born in this world. When he is born in this world, what happened? The ruler of this world, he pulls him here and there. And one day, what happens here? The Lord, by his grace, he touches his soul. Elijah accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Now, listen. When he accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior, what Jesus does, he takes the Holy Spirit, that's me, and puts the Holy Spirit in him. Now, you see this picture here. Stand like this, brother. Now, you see, his Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit lives in him. Okay? Now, when he opens his mouth to pray, the Spirit of God in him uses his mouth to intercede. Now, what is he praying? Because they have already planned something for Elijah. They already planned. That's why Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I have planned to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give a hope and a future. He has a plan. But the ruler of the world, he did not know the plan. But here the Holy Spirit who is in him, he knows the plan. He knows the will of God. When he opens the mouth, when he starts praying in a different languages, the Bible says, Father understands. The Holy Spirit understands. And what is the Holy Spirit is praying? He's praying according to the will of God. And he's saying, look, this is the plan of God. When this guy is walking this way, that way, no. He's supposed to walk this way. He did not know. But the spirit of him knows the plan. And he prays according to the will of God. Why is he praying like this? Because he doesn't want the ruler of the world to know. Otherwise, he will destroy you. So the Holy Spirit uses His Spirit to pray, intercede. That's why Romans 8:26 and 27 very clearly says, you did not know what to pray. The Holy Spirit prays and intercedes for you. This is what exactly happened when God said, what do you want? The Spirit of God stood with the Spirit of Solomon and said, I want wisdom. If he's awoke, you know what he would have done? I believe he would have asked for 2,000 wives. God did not give him an opportunity. God did not give him an opportunity. You see, the prayer of the Holy Spirit transformed his life. The same thing. God wants to bring a revival. God wants to use you and me. Before that, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit has to come in you, and you have to allow the Holy Spirit to pray. This is what exactly Paul and Silas did. When they were in that situation, they prayed. What made them to pray? It is not them, because they are physically weak. They were wounded. They lost their dignity. And they are in the jail. But in the middle of this, who prayed? It is the Holy Spirit in them that made them to pray. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives strength in the time when you are weak. He gives you the power to pray. And not only that, Philippians chapter 3 verse 3. And with this, I would want to conclude. Thank you so much, brothers. Thank you. And with this, I would conclude. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 3, if you go to the Bible, if you go to Amplified Bible, it says, for we Christians are the true circumcision, I'm reading from Amplified Bible, who worship God in spirit by the Spirit of God. Now you see here, worship, you are speaking about worship. You worship God in spirit by the Spirit of God and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. Put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh, our outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearance. Don't put this in. All you have to do is worship God who is in spirit. In spirit. That's why John 4 verse 23 and 24 says, the hour has come, now is come, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such worship Him. God is spirit, that they worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. You see this picture. The Spirit of God aligns you to worship God, who is spirit. So in the middle of all your problem, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. The Holy Spirit helps you to worship God who is in spirit. If you tap that anointing, the revival will break through in your life. Wherever you are, you will see the revival. You will have the presence of God in your life. You will have the power of God in your life. God wants to bring a revival in your life, in your family, in your community, in your city, in your nation, in the nations around the world. Are you willing to tap into this anointing? Are you willing? How many of you really want that anointing so that He can bring a revival in you? Revival around you. Just raise your hand. Shall we all stand in the presence of God? The spirit of anointing, the spirit of revival is about to be unlocked. And God wants to use each and every one of us to bring at least 3,000 souls. At least 3,000 souls. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you go to heaven, God is not going to ask you what car you were driving. God is not going to ask you what type of house you were living. God is going to ask you only one question. What did you do for me? I gave my life to you. I gave my blood to you. I redeemed you. What did you do for me? God wants to use you and me as an instrument in His hands. All you need is the power of anointing. The anointing has to come upon you. The Bible clearly says, you know, when the revival is going to take place, in the middle of your problems. Are you facing trials? Are you facing tribulation? Are you facing problems around you? You are one step closer to a revival. You are so close to a revival. All you have to do is, Lord, help me to pray. Help me to intercede. Help me to worship you in the middle of all my problems. Cry out to God. The anointing is going to come upon you so powerfully upon your life. This is the time to tap into that anointing, that power of God, that power of God. Leave it to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. There's some wonderful thing that will take place. You just go with the presence of God. You will change the transformation. You need not do anything. Just stay. Carry the presence of God. You will see the revival
in your family, in your community, in your city. You need this anointing. We are going to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us in a powerful way. This is not by accident that I'm here. God wants to bring a revival in this nation. God wants to bring a revival. God wants to bring souls to the church. People in this world living in darkness. They have no light. You talk to them, you know, you understand what they are going through. Who is going to take the gospel? Oh, I'm shy. The same, Peter did the same thing, but when the anointing came, was a different person. You need that anointing. Tell the Lord, Lord, all these days I wasted my life. Use me, Lord. Use me. If you truly cry out, come to the altar. We are going to pray for a few minutes and we'll come to the altar quickly and we will pray for that anointing to come now.
Thank you for listening to the House of Prayer podcast. If you're local, we'd love to have you stop by for our 10 a.m. Sunday morning worship service. You can also visit us from anywhere at our website, www.hop.org.